My guest at this time is Christopher C. Horner, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and a member of the Trump landing team at the Environmental Protection Agency during the transition. He joins me today to discuss former Republican California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger announcing plans to sue the oil industry for, quote, knowingly killing people all over the world, unquote. He also likens the fight to the battle against the tobacco industry in the 1990s. And Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, he was being interviewed by Politico for their off-message podcast at the South by Southwest Festival in recent days. And here's the crux of what he had to say about his efforts to take legal action against the oil industry.
From 1959 on, they did their own study and knew there will be global warming and climate change happening because of fossil fuels. And on top of it, it will be risky for people's lives, that it will kill people and they will get cancer and all this. All of this stuff the oil companies knew, and they kept hiding it from the people. This is why we are now talking to law firms to go and do exactly the same thing as they've done in the tobacco industry, where we sue the oil companies for knowingly killing people all over the world. There's 7 to 9 million people dying every year because of pollution, because of fossil fuel.
So a lot to break down here, Chris. Let's start with the fact that the oil industry has known since 1959 that their work caused global warming, and the leap to the conclusion that they're having the same impact as the tobacco industry, ignoring what they knew about the power and the health risks of tobacco and so forth. What do you make of Schwarzenegger here?
He's repeating, I think he's beginning with the seed of something he's heard somewhere and then just flying off into nutty land with it. I know it's very fashionable, including in the courts in California, to say things where he begins, but it doesn't make it any more sane. Just remember this. First of all, the lawyer who started off this for all of these plaintiffs, named Matt Pawa, admitted to The Nation magazine that they were tired of waiting for legislation, and so they were going to try to use the courts. He later denied that to The Washington Times, that he ever said that, after we caught him using Freedom of Information Act requests, working with state attorneys general to push this agenda because it was a failed agenda through the proper political process, the proper democratic process. So they were seeking to use the courts to, in essence, this is a shakedown, because in 2012, there was a meeting out in, surprise, California, in La Jolla, in which they produced a report where the same gentleman spoke. And the report said if we could just get one sympathetic attorney general or district attorney to start subpoenaing these people's documents to use against them, then we could wring this big settlement out of them. That's what's been going on for years. That's what's been shown in the courts to some extent. I won't get into the weeds, but a Texas judge has said, you know, you attorneys general probably ought to want to release the rest of these documents to show people things aren't like what they look like, which is, again, you're shaking down parties to try to get them to give you money to distribute to their political constituencies. That's been the model since tobacco. That's why they continue invoking tobacco as the analogy, because they've got it on the brain. But even the UN, which, you know, Whitey, Rob Banks, Willie is where the money is, started this UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in the 90s, was saying, well, we don't know, could be. How in the world are you going to say that this, what's cited as the world's leading climate scientists, they're mostly economists, but anyway, the world's leading climate scientists, were saying, well, I don't know, we should look at it. And they get it, yeah, they ratchet it up and get more alarmists and so on. But in the 90s, they were saying, I don't know, we the science is pretty young on this, and we just don't know. But you're going to say, aha, the guys with the deep pockets, they really knew. These sinister rich people who could pay our political constituencies, why this endless fire hose of money, they really knew what the UN was in the 50s, what the UN was saying in the 90s, even before they decided we really got to punch the gas on this, was saying, well, I don't know, it's a theory. I mean, this is absurd. This is why, by the way, the rules provide for sanction for parties bringing frivolous lawsuits. If Schwarzenegger's lawyers really bring what he's saying, then somebody's going to have to pay, but it isn't who gets sued.
We're talking with Chris Horner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Chris, he throws out a specific number there, 7 to 9 million people dying every year from pollution. Do you have any idea where that comes from?
No, but that's a lot. So I guess he could name seven to nine of them, right? But no, he can't. And within 2 million between friends, isn't that they just sort of pull these things out of the ether? They're computer models to do everything this agenda requires, including computer model statistical deaths. They don't have names or toe tags. However, we do have names and toe tags, and I've got a whole PowerPoint presentation drawn from the English-speaking press about seniors who have died of hypothermia as these policies take root in the UK. Social services, why were they left to die? You can find the headlines yourselves. There are people who are dying from energy poverty, which comes when, as one man put it, this agenda causes your electricity rates to necessarily skyrocket. So we know people are dying, and we know former politicians who have some idea can throw out 7 to 9 million as a figure, but likely struggle to name 7 to 9 people who died from this.
Chris, I can imagine some folks thinking about this and saying, well, some cities have really bad smog or really bad pollution. Beijing, LA is famous for its smog. Places in India, obviously, where the economy is developing, they burn a lot of fuel and so forth. Surely there must be some people suffering as a result of that. So what would you say to them?
I'd say I would change the subject too. It's not called catastrophic man-made global smogging. You're talking about a pollutant and a pollution issue for which we, for example, have regulatory regimes. You want to reduce smog? Go through the smog law and regulations we have. And you can't deny that we have them, right? And so they'll yell about catastrophic man-made global warming and immediately shift to cancer and smog. That's what you call changing the subject. We have laws for that. Use them. But that wouldn't really pay off, would it? That wouldn't pay off the trial lawyers. That wouldn't pay off through these tobacco-style settlements, your political constituencies who are begging. You know, we had a member in a deposition I took part in, a member of the faculty lounge in a FOIA case acknowledging that his principal job was to raise money and that he was part of the tobacco industry. And having given an interview to Grist magazine in which he said, you know, if these RICO suits take off, why, there'll be an awful lot of money for. And he described what he does for a living, what his center does. There's a taste in this for everyone, which is why everyone's involved. But if it's about smog, great. Go through the smog regimes you've put in place. If it's about global warming, stop changing the subject to smog.
Chris, when we get to this point with the lawsuits, because you mentioned we've gotten here because they haven't achieved what they wanted through the political process, and we see in poll after poll, particularly at election time and so forth, that the issue of climate change or global warming is usually pretty far down there on people's priorities. So is the aggressiveness in this arena almost an admission that they're losing in all these other avenues?
Yes, but there's more to it. I noted in my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming, I believe, it could have been Red Hot Lies, I went through how the Washington Post was illustrative of what the media did. In the week before the global warming case was heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, Massachusetts versus EPA, there were editorials, unsigned WAPO editorials, opinion pieces, human interest stories on the struggles of how will Swiss ski moguls survive in the inevitably warmer world, and so on, littered throughout the paper to make sure the Supreme Court knew what Georgetown expected of them. At next time you show up at a cocktail party, you'll get the frowning of a lifetime and maybe a bad Manhattan if you don't rule the right way. And, you know, they did. 5-4, they selected carbon dioxide, a pollutant. Well, you hear that rattling, and you're going to hear for the next few weeks, because on March 21st in California, a federal court has asked for a 2-hour seminar on the science of global warming in a trial like the one the governor was just banging on about. So you're going to hear a couple of more weeks of hysteria and read it in the press, and you're going to read about seas boiling, skies turning blood red, dogs and cats living together, everything from this. And yes, a lot of subject changing to cancer and smog and so on, because they want to make sure the courts hear the background noise. So that's part of it. And yeah, in an election year you do, but that's kind of silly, as we've seen. No one has ever spent this kind of money and not prevailed, except for the Soviets, as the global warming industry. And it does end up at a number called the bottom of every list. It's at the environment's at the bottom, and this is at the bottom of environmental concerns. And let me tell you, thank you, people like Governor Schwarzenegger. One of the reasons catastrophic man-made global warming hysteria ranks last is because of this sort of moon battery. keep it up. If we didn't have you, we'd have to invent you.
Last question. If the oil companies are going up the river or shelling out the money, if Schwarzenegger gets his way here, how much time should he get? Since your friend Mark Morano in his new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change, points out that the governor commuted daily by private jet from Southern California to Sacramento.
Yeah, and he made the Humvee famous and so on. This is not the most self-aware crowd. You know, Bill de Blasio just filed one of these suits in between taking a motorcade of SUVs to the Y to run on a treadmill. I mean, like I say, you can't always choose your opponents, but we are very blessed with ours. He might look in the mirror, but this doesn't get you anywhere in a rational. You're trying to speak rational arguments to people who were not reasoned into their position. This is all about... largely about emotion. It's driven by emotion. And, of course, as I mentioned, the politicians know that the tobacco model might be played out in other contexts. If you just threaten investigation, people they expect will settle and give you a huge amount of money to spend and to distribute to political constituencies. But when you start saying, okay, well, given nothing ever proposed, would you're talking about energy poverty for billions, and they'll say, well, we wouldn't. It's about other people's emissions. It's certainly not about Arnold Schwarzenegger commuting by jet every day and driving around in a Humvee.
Chris, we'll leave it there. We'll see where it goes, if anywhere. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Chris Horner, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and a member of the Trump landing team at the Environmental Protection Agency during the transition. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.